Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
Friends, and thanks so much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And of course, I'm not in the bus alone. Riding over here shotgun, acting all wild, is Big Fizzy.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in Skellington Studios. I've got my super 44-ounce Dr. Pepper in a cup right here next to me. I'm enjoying this.
Dropped off some stickers to me.
Yeah, we got a new shipment of stickers just in so that we can make them available for purchase at the live show.
That's right.
One day, I guess, we'll make them available for purchase on the website. But for now, you have to see us in person to purchase these. But yeah, they're pretty cool. The new logo. I really like the new logo. Yeah.
And it is coming, folks. We're getting everything set up so we can have, we didn't want to drop it all online before we started it at the live show. So the live show is going to be the kickoff for the stickers and for the shirts and all that.
Yeah.
And then we'll start after that so we can put them up there.
You know, I'm all about quality of t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
When I pick a shirt out to buy, the logo or whatever's on it is almost not even as important as what it feels like.
It's 50-50 for me, right?
Right. and so I actually already got some shirts made, but I don't really like the way they feel. So those are going to be a no-go. So we're going to keep trying them out till I find the perfect one, and then we'll make them available for purchase.
I got a meeting with a fella coming up that I think is going to hook us up. We're going to see how this works, but yeah.
Yeah, it's like an OCD for me. I'm a stickler for quality. If it doesn't look or feel exactly the way I want it, I won't wear it.
Yeah.
My wife already knows. Like, she does not buy me any clothes.
No.
Because she says I'm impossible to buy for. And it's not true. If it's not something I like and you buy it for me, I appreciate
that's
the
what
gift.
I've always,
I'm not going to wear it.
I want it to be soft.
My
heart.
No? Like your brain.
Like my brain.
We just went on an amazing Halloween tour, me and Luke and my wife, at the Shandor Gardens here in town. This is a thing we do every year. He's getting a little older, so it's becoming less and less fun. What I mean by fun is he doesn't get scared anymore. He knows what to expect. So we still had a good time, but
he's a movie maker, so he knows what goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah, so there's tons of smoke and fog and, you know, skeletons. And, of course, people jumping out to scare you. And he has a good time. Luke's very festive. But, like, when he was little, he would, like, lose his mind.
And
right?
He's coming to the live show. Lil Fizzy will be at the live show.
Yeah.
He's right in the middle of it.
Yeah, he's emceeing the thing.
He better be bringing us up.
He has already, no joke, been sitting around practicing his autograph.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
And so, please, if you are in attendance, at least one person ask him for his autograph. That would make his year. I told you the story, I think, on air about the girl at the gas station.
Yes.
That is his YouTube fan.
Yeah.
Oh, man, and she moved to another gas station, right?
Yeah. So you have to go there now?
I purposely will take, whenever he's with me, I'll make it a point to go in there, and she teases him every time, like, oh man, I've been watching your videos. And of course, he, you know, blushes and stuff.
Yeah.
And she's like, man, I just really love your YouTube videos. I mean, she
oh my goodness,
she pumps his tires, right?
Yeah.
And he loves it, so he thinks it's like a worldwide thing. He's like, man, I can't believe that girl watches my YouTube. I'm like a YouTube star. I'm like, yeah, you're.
Yes.
So of course he loves that kind of stuff. But man, speaking of things I love, I saw on Instagram I saw you and something you accomplished.
I did, yeah. Yeah.
I saw you get some deer jerky for us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
I'm excited about that.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
excited. I have been trying to get out there, but I have not been able to get out as much as I wanted.
Your work's been unrelenting.
Yeah, right. It's always that way. When I got nothing to do, there's nothing fun to do. And then the minute something fun comes up, that's when I get busy. But, you know, could be worse.
Yeah.
But what else have you been doing?
That's about it. That's about all I got going on. Doing that, hanging out with the granddaughter, and getting everything ready so I can go, after the live show, I go out of town.
Mm-hmm.
I got to go. I'm going up there to shoot that hunting video.
Oh, yeah, you're going up to Kansas.
Yeah, I'm going to go to Kansas and Colorado again. Going to spend, it's probably close to 2 weeks, I think, is what we're gonna be up there running around. So y'all keep an eye out on my Instagram. I'll have some crazy stuff going on up through there. And the cool thing is, too, is like I've said, is like there's a lot of weird stuff happens in that state. There's a lot of weird things happens around the cornfields, right, and the milo fields.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of sky in Kansas, right? All the trees are short. There's a lot of sky out there where we're at. So maybe I could see some other crazy stuff. But I love going to these and then getting to know people and then asking them. Just be like, hey, y'all ever had any weird stuff happen out here on the farm?
Yeah, watch out for those cornfields. Like, lots of cornfields.
There's a bunch out there, man. Of course, I don't sneak through the cornfields. It's a little noisy, but I'm also don't want to get lost in there. Right?
No.
I'm not real tall. I go out there and it's stuff's over head high. I'm not ever going to find my way out. I just have to sit down and cry.
You know, we did an episode not too long ago about creepy cornfields. And since that time, you would not believe the amount of people who have sent in stories about darn cornfields.
Just weird stuff.
I had no idea. But I'm not alone because I know a lot of the people that emailed the show talked about ever since the movie Signs.
Oh,
they've been leery
of
going in the cornfields too. And I'm like, yeah, I don't blame you.
Same.
Right? But cornfields are just great places to hunt.
Yeah. Well, everything likes, just like in the milo, the corn, all that, the deer like to lay in there in it because you can't get to them.
Mm.
Excuse me, folks. And they'll get the wind to their back, face the front, where nothing can come in behind them that they can't smell or hear. Nothing's going to come in the front of them that they can't see or hear. And they just hang out in there. And it's completely safe. I mean, it's hard. Same with the milo. There's no way we're going to get to it. So it's one of those things. So, yeah, but it is. We ran around and I will tell you what I was surprised about. I may have brought it up last time. The number of like coyote dens and badger holes out in those cornfields that while you're walking after a cut field, the way it's like stubbed, I guess it's like a stubble field, the way it sticks up. You talk about rolling an ankle or stepping off in a hole. Like you couldn't ride a horse through there. There's no way. It's not going to happen because you can barely walk through there.
Yeah.
And I had no idea, not being from that area, not being involved in mass farming or any of that part in Kansas. I had no idea that that's what it was like when they were cut down until I walked through it.
If you go north of here, north of like Frisco and stuff, there's an awful lot of cornfields. But down around where we live, it's mostly hay fields.
Well, look at even down around Hillsboro. There's a lot of cornfields all down through there. But right in here, it's all hay and cattle and horses.
Yeah, yeah. Well, speaking of emails from listeners, we got a new one in. Check this out. It says, hey, fellas. Greetings from Paris, California.
Howdy.
I've been listening to your show for at least 3 or more years now, and I honestly look forward to a new episode to drop with much anticipation. Well, recently, maybe the past 6 months or a year ago, I started playing it in the car when I take my kids, Lexi and Josiah, just in case you choose to share my experience. I'm sure they'd love to hear the shout out. Whenever I take them fishing or whenever I pick them up from school, they too have become fans and look forward to hearing new episodes all of the time, especially my daughter. Now, recently, she's been excitedly pleading for me to send an email to you guys about the encounter I had as a teenager with what I strongly believe could have only been a ghost or a shadow being, or at least that's all I hope it was. And one last thing, my five immediate family of five, plus several close friends and my brothers and I, have had encounters similar to the one I'm about to share today inside that house. None of us can explain these events. I've lived in Southern California my entire life, growing up in the city of Anaheim, California. My parents purchased a 3-bedroom, single-story home, which they still live in to this day. I'm the oldest of 3 children. My sister is the middle child. And my brother, well, he's the youngest. Since my sister was the only girl, my parents felt she should have a room to herself because my brother and I would be more similar as we grew up. Needless to say, this forced me into sharing my room with my younger brother. The house had a floor plan that if you walked in the front door, the kitchen and the dining room would be off to the left. If you turned to the right, you'd be met with the living room. And behind that was a hallway that went to the bedrooms. Standing at the entrance to the hallway, you'd see the door leading to the bathroom on the right, which is about 6 feet down the hallway. And another 6 foot from that, at the end of the hallway, was my sister's room. The hallway then turned to the left and went another 8 foot before it was a dead-end wall with a bedroom on each side. My brother and I were in the room to the left, and my parents had the room off to the right if you were looking as though you walked down the hall heading towards the end. Think of it like an L-shaped hallway that leads to you to the rooms. Now, one thing to keep in mind was that my brother and I always kept the bedroom door closed whenever we went to bed. I don't exactly remember why we did that, but the only reason we might have done that is because my mom left for work early in the morning, and my dad even earlier than that. On second thought, I think we closed the door may have been a diversion growing up because we could pretend to go to sleep, but we actually would stay up late, like the little troublemakers that we were. Plus, we couldn't stand my dad's snoring. Our mom couldn't stand it either, but had grown used to it. On occasion, though, if she was having trouble falling asleep, she would wander out to the living room with a blanket and pillow to watch TV quietly or read a book until she was able to fall asleep. On one such night, just as every other night, my brother and I had gone to bed just as we had been told. Again, the door to the room was closed as usual. After the second time, my mom burst in because we were obviously not as sneaky, staying up late as we thought we were being. We finally conceded to go to sleep. My mom walked out of the room, shutting the door. The latch sounded as it moved beyond the striker plate and resting into the notch in the doorframe. I was awoken sometime late into the night by my mom yelling, "Ron! Ron! Ron, is that you? Ron, was that you?" Each time, she had grown more frantic and scared, it seemed. I was, and still am, a very light sleeper, and often wake up from the slightest noises at times. I mean it when I say the slightest noises, too. Mouse farts could probably wake me up in the middle of the night. So when my mom started yelling, I was wide awake, from the very first yell from my dad. Immediately, my eyes were wide open, and clear of any dreamy, sleep-like artifacts. And sitting upright in bed, staring towards the doorway and out into the hall, this is where I saw a dark silhouette of a person. Now, most likely my dad, I thought, moving quickly past the doorway. When my dad hadn't reappeared from my parents' room, even though my mom was yelling for him, I decided to walk out to the living room where I knew she was at. By the time she had finished yelling for him, it had been about 10 or 15 seconds, so a relatively short amount of time. I reached the end of the hallway and looked towards the right side of the living room where my mom was sitting upright on the couch, staring back at me, standing in the entrance to the hallway. "Was that you?" she started yelling. I said, "Was that you?" "Yeah," she was yelling, but she was actually scared. That's what got me worried. My mom loves horror stuff, easily shrugging off movies and books like The Exorcist, The Thing, or the first Paranormal Activity movie. "No, I woke up because I could hear you yelling. I came out because I didn't know what was going on." That's what I told her. "Where's your dad? What's he doing?" She was more composed now that I was out there and that she wasn't alone, but it was also at this time we both realized we could hear my dad snoring away like a darn grizzly bear in their bedroom. We woke up my dad, and my mom told us, both of us, that she had seen a black shadow shaped like a person walk out of the hallway, turned to face her, and then bolted back into the hallway. She had begun yelling, which in turn had woken me up, causing me to sit up and look out the hallway, seeing the same shadowy figure walk past my doorway. But that was impossible. We had gone to bed with our door closed, yet somehow it was open during this incident. Sure, maybe my mom or dad had opened it later to see if we were asleep, but they'd never done that kind of thing before, and never once after that happened, so that doesn't seem likely. Even worse, though, whatever moved past the doorway, I remembered that it didn't make any sound. It was dead quiet, with no noise from the footsteps on carpet over a raised wooden foundation. That alone would make some noise from a man-sized figure just walking, let alone moving as fast as it did. Moving as fast as it did, but to where? It didn't turn into my parents' room. That much I was able to ascertain from my view, and I had been, because of how I sat up, I could tell that I was looking at the door. I knew it didn't enter my room either. That hallway was a literal dead end, with the exception of the rooms on either side. The only place it could have gone was into the drywall. Whatever it was had disappeared into the wall silently, leaving no trace of itself having ever been there, except for what we saw. We both had seen it and shared the same exact encounter from two different perspectives. Since then, and throughout the years, we all went on to have similar encounters at various stages of our lives, sometimes involving more than just one person for the same event. We aren't overly superstitious, hardcore religious, or seek out paranormal stuff or anything like that, mind you, leaving no reason why our brains would have been primed into playing tricks on us that night, so we really have no explanation for these things. Years later, after the birth of my second child, I purchased my own home for the now growing family that I was raising. Before the chaos of moving boxes, being brought over, and settling in, my parents and grandma visited the home with us. It was completely bare with nothing inside, as every parent knows, would never be clean again. My mom was taking pictures with her Samsung Galaxy Note so she could share it with the family. One of the pictures was looking down the hallway of the new home, which again leads towards all the rooms and the garage entry door. The power was on, and so were the lights inside for the grand tour. This picture looking down the hall had a black, opaque shadow, which looked like a large puddle, almost flowing down the hallway. Everything else around it was completely lit up and normal. We still don't know what it was. Am I being followed by something? A ghost? A spirit? A shadow being? Or something else entirely? I guess time will tell, since this stuff still happens and we can't explain it. Keep up the awesome work, fellas, and we look forward to new episodes for years to come. Have a good one, Nathan. P.S. While I was writing this email last night, my Chromebook shut down and would not turn back on. Just a blank white screen on the display. It stayed that way throughout the night. I had to finish this email the following morning. Odd timing, don't you think? Wow, Nathan. It is odd timing. And your story of a shadow being following you throughout your life, I'm afraid, is common among people that see these beings. I don't know if it's something that has attached itself to you and your family. That doesn't necessarily mean it's sinister. Perhaps it's a past loved one who enjoys just looking in on you or other family members from time to time. And for whatever reason, their spirit, their ghost, it looks like a shadow person. There's lots of different people that have different viewpoints on these shadow beings. Some people definitely think that they're evil. They mean harm. And then other people, not so much. So maybe whether they're good spirits or bad, they both appear to us as shadow beings. You know what I'm saying? Maybe there's no difference between whether it's good or bad, just like people. Ted Bundy looks like a normal, nice guy. He had no idea that he was actually a serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, perhaps it's the same thing. Some shadow beings aren't evil. They're just, you know, like I said, past loved ones who are checking in on the family, while other times it could be something demonic. But that's its house and wants you out. You know,
I do like how there's physical sounds involved with the shadow creature, though.
Sometimes.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the strangest thing, right? Shadows don't have physical weight.
Well, that's what he's saying.
That's what's so crazy.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. This one wasn't really making it. This was, if there was a person, it would have made sounds. The boards, you know, he's talking about a house with a crawl space, with hardwood floors. It would creak. It doesn't matter if it has carpet on it or not.
Yeah, true.
Something that's large moving across the house, you know, somebody running on a pier and beam home would still boom, boom, boom.
Mm-hmm.
Not like a slab. You would hear it.
Yes.
And in this case, he doesn't hear anything.
Doesn't hear any of it.
So it's like a spirit. What is it? Is it truly following him? What's the chance of him moving from one house to another and that house also having a shadow being
in it? Yeah, there's not. And that's what's so weird. It's like we get reports. Some you hear physical noises. Some you don't. This one is obviously nothing. I don't know. But it does seem like it is following him. Right. Like, look, it's, and here's something else. It might not be attached to you. It might be attached to one of your belongings.
That's true.
That's you something have, that you may have been given something or picked something up in your travels or in your life and brought it in. And it may be on that. And you may be legitimately moving it home to home to home with you.
That's a good call. We haven't done an episode on cursed objects in quite a while. We may need to revisit that. Yeah.
That's what was always the joke. And I remember seeing it in one of the D&D groups that I looked in is they were talking about like cursed objects in D&D is don't go to garage sales, right? Because you may be purchasing a cursed object.
All of my dice are cursed.
Oh, well, that ain't no lie. But I mean, seriously, think about it. I mean, if let's say you had something that you were even more nefarious than you are and that you did some sort of dark magic and had some curse. And then when you passed away, it's just laying there. Your kids don't know. Your wife doesn't know. Nobody in your family knows. So the next thing they do is they sell it. Well, then somebody comes along and buys your cursed object. Now they've brought that back with them.
Well, you're not wrong because there are people online that sell Dybbuk boxes.
Yeah, no thanks.
You know, then these are boxes where there's some kind of evil spirit trapped in there and they're sealed.
We carry those around in our pockets every day, right? I mean, that's a phone. There's an evil spirit trapped in that thing for sure.
Yeah, right. And then there's these people who go online, buy these things, and then open them. I'm like, man, why would you want to mess with that and have that?
Even if it's fake, why do you want to just toy around
with
it?
Why chance with it?
Exactly.
I don't think that stuff's fake. I think it's real. I do not mess around.
Yeah, I don't take chances with it.
I don't either. I burn sage around
my
house.
Not one bit, yeah.
Father Basil comes over, blesses the house. Right. And then, like, I'm not taking any chances, right?
No chances being taken. Hey, you've been to Canada.
Several times.
I have not. And you've always told me how great it is.
It is. It's awesome.
How beautiful it is up there, the whole thing. Let's take a quick break. When we get back, I'm going to hit you with some cryptids and some weird stories from Canada, Eastern Canada, in around Toronto, all of that, that I bet you don't know because I was unaware of this.
What I do know is the Stars lost in overtime to Toronto last night.
We're not talking about that. Okay? We're not going to discuss that.
I'm excited.
You're excited. Look, let's take a quick one. We'll jump back on the other side of it. And I'm going to hit you with some really wild stuff from creepy Canada. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
All right, here we go.
Yes.
Creepy Canada with Kyle Filson.
Philly.
Yeah.
I've said, and then like we've talked about, you showed me all places that you've been and told me about it, and the place looks beautiful. I've got to go visit. It's one of those places that I could go spend a lot of time. But what's funny is not knowing a ton about some of the stuff. Now, we've covered some of these stories. All right. We've covered a few of these creatures and these critters and talked about it off and on. But I found something here I'm going to hit you with at the end that I bet you've not heard of. And it's a very, very interesting thing. Now,
okay.
To start this off, you remember I did a story or a segment over the Shunkawarakan or Warren. Remember the dog man style thing? But it's from Montana, right?
I remember
this was a native mythology there from Montana. For those of you that don't know, what we're talking about is it sounds more like a crazy wolf style creature is kind of more what it sounds like, almost dog man-ish or wolf like. So Canada's got one right across there that's almost identical to it called the Wahila.
The okay. Wahila.
Wahila. And the Wahila is, so they talk about this place being in a very, very rugged part of the Nahini River in Canada's Northwest Territory. Or Nahani River, South Nahani. So there's a lot, of course, it's beautiful. Like you've showed, you know, when you get up there where they're skiing and mountain climbing and doing all this stuff. So the Nahina Valley or whatnot is, I believe in this area, in that part of it was where they had, was that the Valley of the Headless Men? Remember when they had talked about finding all those bodies, we covered it?
I do remember
the
that.
The Nahani Valley, that's it. I believe that's where it's at.
I think you're right.
I believe it's in that valley where this comes from because we had talked about this and even the Wahila. So what it is, it's not even a Native American word, Wahili or Wahila.
What
isn't
is it?
That at all? It's actually a word that was brought forth in some writings by Mr. Sanderson. Ivan T. was the man that came up with it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. He was the first one that started talking about this, and we all know. But anyway, this is what brought it down was Frank's grave. And I have told you all this story a while back. But anyway, Frank Graves was out doing an expedition. This is over 100 years ago, I believe. This way back in the day or close to it. All right. In that area, and had a native companion. Right. Had him a First Nations buddy of his walking with him and a dog. And they were out doing all that, working down the river, checking stuff out. So this evening they were going out to do some hunting. That was the whole plan. Let's go out. Let's flush some birds. Let's shotgun some critters. Right. So the story goes that they came up to this little plateau. There's some brush on it, little scrub brush and whatnot. And that his buddy, his native guide buddy's like, hey, right over there, I see some birds. We're going to go over there and get some, right? So stumbled out over there, worked their way around. They're going to try to flush them out and push them more towards Graves because he's got a shotgun. So they're just going to flush them out, let him knock them down. Graves is like, I'm going to stay up here, you know, and when they flush out, I'll dust them. He's packing a 12 gauge, by the way. Of course, you know, back then, double barrel. This is what we're going to do. Knock it down. So Graves tells a story that he heard something in the brush not far from where he was standing over in that scrub, right?
Uh-huh.
He said he thought it was the dog. He thought it was the dog that they were making their way, had made a little circle, coming back and to push it. So he's just got his arms. I'm picturing it like it's broke over. The shells are in it, draped over his arm. You know, that's the safety bag then on a shotgun. So he's just hanging out. And he said that instantly he regrets not taking it more serious. Like, I wonder what that was. Because he reported seeing an enormous white animal, like almost albino-esque animal, come out of the brush.
Like an abominable snowman?
Well, at first he said he thought it was a polar bear.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, I'm panicking. He said, but that's not what it was. That when the shock initially wore off, he starts looking and says, dude, that is a big ass white dog. Not just that.
Like a Great Pyrenees.
Well, he said it's got super long legs. Like its legs were abnormally long. Well, I start thinking of those dire wolves.
Oh, right? Yeah,
where
yeah,
they look
yeah.
real long legged, really strange. But he said that it had a wide head, said its head was more flat, but very wide and had real short ears. Well, the head, it could have been a normal size ear, just a big head, right? I mean, you look at me, my ears look tiny. It's because I got a huge head, right? Maybe that's what's going on with this whole dog, right? So he panics. Graves is, you know, he freaks out. He thinks he's seen a giant white wolf or whatever this thing is. Touches off the 12 gauge, both barrels, homie, gives it to them all. Guess what happens?
Nothing.
Exactly. This thing pays no attention. He drops the hammer on it, ba-boom, Nothing. This thing has no reaction. He says he's trying to get it reloaded. He's freaking out at this point. So he cracks it open, ejects the shells, throws some more shells in it, cracks it in, whips up. I don't believe he even put two in. I think he just shot one. Gets it back up, fires at it again. Nothing. This thing's walking away when he shoots at it this time. Nothing. Now, granted, I don't know what shot's in it. I don't know how far it is. I don't have the details. It could be 7.5, and this thing could be 200 yards away when he saw it.
Right, if they were bird hunting, they would have been using something.
Yeah, right. He's not shooting. So it may have, or it may have been close, and maybe it was in brush, and it was, you know, but still, either way, the dog paid no attention, or this creature, Wahila, paid zero attention to it and walked off in the brush, and that was that.
That's usually, that's about the same. I have a similar experience when I go hunting.
Yeah.
Is I shoot, and I don't hit it. And then it just pays me no attention and walks off.
Yeah, does it? Yeah. It happens to me weekly, right? Like this. That's not the impressive part of the story, right? This is real. Yeah, this is real. So, and there's a lot of stories like that. I'm not really shooting, but them seeing this white wolf. So the Wahila is apparently a very large white. It almost sounds more like a spirit animal than anything else, right? The way it's moving. But this giant white dog. Now, boy, it's got to be pretty good size for you to mistake it for a grizzly bear. But it doesn't quit there. There's an Inuit legend of the Adlet. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Adlet is a story about a woman who was... Now, there's some real connotation, weird stuff going on with this story. I'm going to read you the story that I found. The story goes that this woman lived alone. She took care of her father. And the story says that she didn't want to get married. She was like what they called an old maid, right? Like she decided, I'm not marrying. I don't want to be around anybody. I want to be with, this is what I'm doing. And then the story goes that she decided to marry her dog instead.
Okay.
Right? And that this dog, and this dog was huge. They said it had this giant dog. And the story goes that her and the dog had relations. And because of that is where this Adlet comes from. This is their stories. It sounds more like a shaman, a witch doctor story or something, you know, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And after the relations that they were five offspring and these offspring were dog men. The Adlet are upright walking canine that were spawned between the union of this. Now, the story, of course, goes that her father that she was taking care of sees this. Freaks out when he finds out, tries to kill her and them and this whole thing. So they leave, right? Mm-hmm. So they all go to wherever they do, whatever goes down, and that they become their own little tribe, if you will, of people. And that during that, they start becoming more and more bloodthirsty and more evil. And that's kind of the way it goes, that they live as bipedal wolves up around the Arctic Circle, and then they've made their ways down. And there's several of these. There's lots of sightings of the Adlet, but it's dog men is what it is. It's just an odd story. But and the reason I brought that up is because it sounds like a story that a group of people, let's say generations ago, living out in the woods or living in these small communities, would talk about a woman that may have other sexual interests inside besides men. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah, I know what you're saying.
And maybe she was a healer. Maybe she was spiritual, but she wasn't interested in men. And so this is what they, this is the connotation that they give her that, oh, she's married to this dog. She has all, you know, so
sure.
All of this. I don't know. It just sounds like that's kind of where the story would go, is you would build folklore around something that would be partially true. Right. But then there's this.
Yeah, because, if you know, in modern times, it'd be similar to like the crazy cat lady.
Yes.
You know, like she's like, yes. You know, these people that, you know, husband dies or whatever. Instead of remarrying, they just get a lot of pets. And those pets are like their children, you know,
yes.
And they live.
Yeah.
That's, you know, this is just an older way of explaining
exactly.
It.
And then, it, of course, it has. So you would think that's all there was, that these Adlets. But there are sightings. And I want to talk to you about a sighting. This was an anonymous witness posted this. There were two of them in the Niagara region in Ontario, Canada. All right. This witness's age at the time was 23. The sighting took place in January of 2020.
Okay.
All right. This is what it says. I was driving in the car from Niagara Falls, Ontario. It was a snowy night. It was very dark outside and cold. My friend and I were driving down a dark street with hardly any streetlights. And as we're driving, I noticed the glare of eyes beside the road. And then I looked to my right as we're passing a driveway. Well, next to the driveway was a mailbox and then a ditch. And standing halfway in a ditch was this very tall, large, white, hairy creature. Now, it's standing on all fours with longer front legs than back limbs, and I'm usually very good with recognizing species and breeds of animals, but I am 100% certain that this was not any creature I've ever seen before. I looked to my friend to ask if they had seen it also as we're passing, and to that she said no. So we both looked back to see the back end of a white creature disappearing into the pitch black wooded area. Well, at this point, we're both very freaked out, and we talk about it for the rest of the way home. Well, I brought it up to one family member, and neither of us talked about it again. Well, yesterday, we had a lot of bitter snow here in Thorold, Ontario. And last night at approximately 11:30, my brother, who was a year older, came to the house in kind of a panic and scared. He's walking home from his friend's house, which is about a block away, and as he approached our street, he heard a growl and briefly saw, as what he described to me, the same white hairy creature standing on the opposite side of the street before it disappeared. Well, after a lot of Googling different words, trying to see if anyone else had seen the same type of thing that we'd come across this thing, I found the words talking about a cryptid creature called the Adlet. Well, my sibling and I both have Native American blood from Algonquin and Mi'kmaq tribes, which we could really play into part. Never have I ever believed in mythological creatures, but nevertheless, this werewolf creature was there. Now, we both feel strongly that this is what we saw, just different times, without even knowing that we had both seen it. And now we're very freaked out and do not want to go outside at night.
Yeah, I don't blame them.
So, the younger sister sees it, says nothing to anybody. Then a month later, the older brother comes in and's like, guess what? What's the odds of that?
Well, and that's what always when it comes to sightings, when multiple witnesses of something, it makes it more credible, right? Because
yeah.
If you imagined something, it'd be very unlikely that I would imagine the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have multiple witnesses of the similar creature, no matter what the creature is, to me, it's more believable.
Yes, right? I agree. 100%.
So this is a perfect example of that.
Yeah. Well, there's also a thing up there called the Devil Monkey.
Cool name.
Cool name, right? Cool name. Now, it sounds like a type of species, if you will, of Sasquatch. They're a little bit different, though, but it does sound like a spinoff of them. And what I mean by that is it's very, they say it's 4 to 6 foot tall, but it has very long arms. So, like, I guess longer than normal primate arms is what they describe. But what they describe, the colors sound almost spot on. Dark brown or black, usually. They've seen some, very few, but there have been reported a few of either white or a light blonde.
Right.
So, as we're going along that way, there was a case from a person named Ian Harper that said encountered this while he was riding in Scugog, Ontario on his bike.
Also a cool name.
Also, they have great names, right?
Right. But and like already, you haven't even started the story, and it already seems more credible to me because of the size. 4 to 6 feet to me is reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Whenever you hear sightings of the thing was 9 to 12 foot tall, you're like, come on, man, that's a big animal.
That is a huge animal.
That's a polar bear size animal, yeah. You know, like, but 4 to 6 feet, I can believe.
You can get behind that, right?
I don't know why. I feel like I can get behind it. Go ahead.
I'm with you. I'm with
Scugog,
you the whole way.
Scugog, Ontario.
Scugog, Ontario. On his way home, Mr. Harper was riding his bike and had his dog with him, right? And his dog runs up the driveway barking and going crazy. As he's riding his bike, the dog's running around there. He says he looks behind him at this point to see what the dog's going nuts about. And he heard grunting. As he turns to look, he said he saw what he described as a huge white monkey with long, his words, willowy arms standing there in the woods, just like on the edge of the woods. So it like came out, I guess, riding his bike by, drew him out like you would see like the mountain lions or bear or whatever on their bike, right? Draws it out. He witnesses this. The thing turns around and makes its way back in. There's some very strange
crazy
devil monkey sightings. Here's what's really funny. They described them as having barrel chested, like huge round chests, kind of dumpy legs and long arms. So it does sound primate-esque. Like when you see a primate move, that's kind of what they look like.
That's
right?
Yeah.
Kind of
exactly
swinging,
right.
Long arms, big chested. You'd think almost like a gorilla. Squatty legs. I don't know. It's very, very odd that that's how they describe it, though. So it almost does sound primate-like. Now, there's something else here that I'm going to talk to you about that I know is your favorite of all cryptids. There's a lot of lake monsters
in
Canada.
Oh, yeah. Look, I don't have a hatred towards water cryptids. It's just my least favorite of all types.
Well, this really does.
I said all sites. I was going to say all sightings, but then I got confused. Yeah, all types. Right. And I don't know why they're my least favorite. But yet when you talk about monsters on the ocean, I can totally get behind that.
Just not the, and I understand, well, you know what it is? It's like we've discussed a bunch too. When you put them in a lake, it's almost like, you know what? There's a monster on those 6 acres. There's a monster in those 12 acres. It doesn't leave the fence. That's where it stays. And if it's in there, you're going to be able to see it. It's almost like I don't want to believe that, yeah, it's right there in that lake. And I didn't realize there are an awful lot of lakes and bodies of water in Canada.
Like, sure, there's a lot of snow runoff, you know, when it thaws out.
I want to say at one point in time, I've read somewhere, I have to go back and look. There's over a million lakes and bodies of water like that of what they consider lake size, all maybe like over 2 million all through Canada.
I'm going to start my own hockey team. It's going to be the Skugog Sharpshooters.
There.
I'm going to put like a water cryptid on the front crest, right? That'd be a good name.
You need to be like the Turtle Lake Rink Monsters or something is what you need to be. So this is in Saskatchewan, all right, is where this Turtle Lake is. Now, what they talk about is it, of course, again, 8 meter long monster, right? They talk about seeing humps on its back. Some even claim that the face looks like a seahorse. It's been reported for a long, long time that there is a giant seahorse-looking creature in this lake. People have talked about seeing humps. Here's one about a teacher. A teacher was out there with his daughter. They're out there fishing. Said they saw something rolling in water. What they thought it was the way it was rolling was coils, almost like snake coils or something, right? Something big churning through the water. They go up there. They claim that they saw the face, the seahorse face of the monster come out of the water. Freaks them out. They gas the boat. They're heading back in, right?
Was it rolling in the deep?
I think.
End of the lake?
That's probably.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Man, I hate you. All the people in the area, let's say, as far as like, let's say like the Native Americans and whatnot in this area, they talk about it being nothing more than a sturgeon.
Right.
That's a lot of landlocked sturgeons in there.
A lot of the water cryptids are described as sturgeons because sturgeons are these giant, literally prehistoric looking fish. I mean, they literally are millions of years old, like sturgeon, like arapaima. Those things have been around since the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And they get ginormous. I could only imagine you like, what is that, eh?
Would you? Oh, here we go. Now we're going to start getting hate as he starts talking about
it. No, I love Canadians.
Here we go.
Here we go. It's just the way they talk.
But look, there's a, like we've talked about, Ogopogo.
Yep.
All right. Ogopogo is in this whole thing too. I have a story here of the Ogopogo and it just happened.
I think Ogopogo is like their most, Canada's most famous cryptid.
I believe it is. Yeah. I believe it's their single most famous cryptid in Canada. Isn't that how it's pronounced? Canada? Isn't that how we're going to do this with the Ogopogo? Look, there's, when I say new stuff, I'm talking about brand new stuff. Just got dropped. Our buddy Lon has got video on his site, okay?
Okay.
This is what it says. A British Columbia man and his wife were in a boat on Okanagan Lake this past weekend and observed something in the water that he took a picture of. Says Dale Hanchar wasn't searching for a mythological sea creature when he set sail on the Okanagan Lake in BC this weekend. And says now he's toying with the idea that he might have seen something strange. Can you see that picture I'm showing you, homie?
Yeah, I'm looking at it
like,
right
what
now.
What is that? It looks like a wolf, right? His face with horns. Like, I don't even know what I'm looking at. So, folks, what I'm checking out, you can go to Lon's Phantoms and Monsters. You can check this out. We'll have the links to it, too, if you want to look. This photo doesn't tell me anything.
No.
It's very strange. It doesn't tell me anything. This is what it says. Is he and his wife, Colleen, along with their friend, Myrna, were enjoying a warm day on the water this past Saturday when they caught sight of something that they couldn't explain. This is what they say. As a boater, I was just looking to see, is this something dangerous that needs to be marked so someone doesn't run into it? Like a deadhead or something like that, which I like. Folks, a deadhead is just that. It could be the head of an elk, a whitetail, a mule deer. Anything with antlers floating in the water could be bad, right? As you run over something, especially moose, as you get up there, those are rather large. Could be anything like that. It says that as we went on by, I got to thinking about it. So I said to Myrna and to my wife, that didn't look right. Let's go back and take another look. So it says that he told Colleen, he told his wife, get your camera ready. We're going to drive back by this thing. So he wheels it around and they go. Now, listen, they're on a sailboat. They're not just boating. They're sailing when they go by to take this picture. He says, we're all puzzled as to what it could possibly be. Says, you know, we kind of eliminated things that it was and that it wasn't. But the best thing that they could come up with was Ogopogo, as they see this creature. Now, like I said, there are a lot of sightings of sturgeon, mm-hmm. is what it seems like. A lot of sturgeon. And it seems like what it is. But then you get pictures like this, and then you get a few other tales to what they talk about of the seahorse or these rolling coils of a snake. There's no coils on a sturgeon, right?
That's correct.
Their back is kind of humpy, you know, the way it is with the big knobs and whatnot. But I don't know how big they can get. I'm guessing really big from the way some of these things look. And then, of course, you know, you're going to have to go to Lake Ontario's got them. They say, and this goes all the way back to like the 1880s. Lake Ontario was said to have like a 50-footer living in it. And I believe even some of the First Nations people in that area had talked about it being a giant snake that lived out there in the lake, which seems odd for the cold weather, right? Like you can kind of believe it coming in from the Congo or right. coming down there. But being in the lakes in Ontario, I can only imagine probably gets pretty chilly. But we're going to jump past that. This is what I'm talking about. We had covered in the past.
Before you get into that.
Yeah. Are you looking at sturgeon?
According to Google,
yeah.
sturgeons can get up to 16 feet long and weigh up to 800 pounds.
So that's not
50.
That's not 50 foot. That's not even 8 meters.
But 16 feet is still rather large.
That's a big, big fish.
For freshwater.
Heck yeah, it is. That's a big fish. It could ease. Well, and that's what size that they know of. It could easily be mistaken for something like that. Although it really, you know, we don't know what the heck they're seeing. It could be.
Oh, but then here.
Uh-oh.
Saying this is the problem. The longest one ever caught was in 1827, and it measured 23 feet, 7 inches.
So the ability to get that big, 8 meters, is there.
And it weighed 3,463 pounds.
If I saw something like that in the freshwater, I would think it was a monster too.
Right, exactly.
100%.
Right? You'd be like, that's a monster.
Like you wouldn't think it if you have spent your whole life around saltwater, seeing large animals or whatnot.
Yeah,
like
whales
that.
And yeah. things, yeah.
But in freshwater, especially, I mean, what's the biggest fish you think you've ever seen in freshwater or the biggest anything? I'm not including like alligators up here at Lake Worth or anything like that. I'm not talking about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, in freshwater?
I'm talking about freshwater fish.
Probably,
I'm thinking carp.
Probably a catfish that I saw somebody catch one time that was pretty big.
I'm thinking we've harvested some carp that are probably 20 plus pounds. Gar, we've yeah, taken big gar out of the rivers, but yeah, I could easily see
and
something
in 1827.
Not knowing?
They don't know what that is.
Oh, yeah.
You just see the crazy scales and yeah. you're like, that's a dinosaur.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
No, I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, that's right. So, okay, we're going to jump over into Toronto. And the reason I want to go there is because I found some stuff there that makes me think of like London. So Toronto has some weird stuff that goes on in their underground area, too, in their transit system. They've had some strange things. There's apparently a place near Lower Bay Station, if any of y'all up there in that area, where they talk about seeing a lady in red, a woman in red that just
lady
appears.
Lady in red.
Here we go. Yeah. And that she just appears in this area walking around in the, you know, late at night. This, now listen, this is supposed to be a legend of this area, is the Lower Bay Station is underground and it's abandoned. And they say that she's out there seemingly friendly, but always alone. And that she appears on this platform when nobody's around, just waiting for her bus or whatever that's coming. So, again, we get a lot of lady in white stories.
Yep, yep.
We get a lot of lady in red stories. I don't know what it is about these crazy, like, lady-colored stories of wherever they're going to be. But what could – I guess she could have been killed down there.
Right.
I guess it could have been anything. But why? What is it about the colors, the white or the red? What is it about that?
I don't know. And you always see the stories on like, you know, people driving down roads and mm-hmm. there's a woman in white. But it's always women. Like you don't yes. get that many stories of men, whatever, no. for whatever reason, the spirits. It's never men. You don't
they're
see
too
like
grumpy to go walk out and haunt
oh, yeah,
people.
If you go down here, there's always a ghost of old Bob, the barber, you know, and he's wearing his barber's outfit.
But we do hear about men with the railway. Like we always hear about the ghosts of men like
conductors
on
and stuff.
Conductors.
That's
yeah,
true.
There's a lot of that. Like it's different places.
Good point.
It's weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no consistency in like in between. You either get lady in red, lady in white, or you get like conductor guys with these crazy lanterns and whatnot. How about underwater alien bases in Lake Ontario?
Okay, now you're starting to freak me out because uh-huh. I recently just listened to another interview on the Joe Rogan show.
Yes.
And an F-18 fighter pilot, not David Fravor, but another one now has come forward saying that they've been seeing this stuff out there for a while. And not every once in a while, like they see it all the time. these unidentified cubes inside of a clear sphere.
Yeah, you straight up ruined my whole weekend whenever I watched that when you called and told me.
Well, in the beginning, I thought that this was a couple isolated sightings, but then this guy said we upgraded the radars on these F-18s, and when we did that, then we just started seeing them all the time.
Yeah.
And then they started, they've been seeing them over land as well.
Well, when he's talking also about how they hover and all the things that they can do that we can't do even now, and I mean like hovering, I don't mean like hovering for a minute or two. We're talking about hovering for up to like 30 hours and not moving in one spot, just floating there.
Yeah, I mean,
it makes absolutely no sense other than they're not from here, and that's the reason I wanted to bring this up. So it's been rumored that Lake Ontario has an underground extraterrestrial base that's in that lake. And the reason being is because there are sightings that come from this area, of course, at night, of orbs of light that are moving around a power plant there, the Lakeview Hydroelectric Power Plant in Mississauga. I don't know how to pronounce that word.
Sure. We'll go.
But anyhow, that's where it is. Near, there's there's a power plant, hydroelectric power plant there at Lake Ontario, that, which again makes sense, right? These power plants. They talked about the one out in East Texas hovering over power plants. They see all this. Maybe that's why they're living there close to it. Anyway, that is one of the theories that takes place there in Toronto. But there's another one that I want to talk to you about. And this is the Tunnel Monster of Cabbage Town.
Now that is a cool name.
I knew that would get you. This comes from an issue of the Toronto Sunday Sun. It was published on March 25th in 1979, written by Laurie Goldstein. And this is what it says, and I've got to read you this. There's an eerie city lying beneath the streets of Metro, a city none of us know much about. Ernest has been a visitor to that silent world of sewers, drainage pipes, and the ruins under old houses, and the memory of what he saw there will haunt him for the rest of his life.
A Ninja Turtle?
Says, I wished you'd never come here, he says as he sits in his small, neat Cabbage Town, which was an old nickname for the Lower East End of Toronto, in his apartment with Barbara, his wife of 19 years. If I tell you what I saw, people will think I was drunk or crazy. They'll never believe me. On the summer day, last August, Ernest, who was 51, which this would be the summer of 79, believes he saw some kind of creature while crawling into a small cave near his Parliament Street apartment looking for a kitten from a litter that he'd been caring for. But about 10 foot inside, he says he saw a living nightmare that he'll never forget. It was pitch black in there. I saw it with my flashlight. The eyes were orange and red, slanted. It was long and thin, almost like a monkey, 3 foot long, large teeth, weighing maybe 30 pounds, with slate gray fur. Now, he speaks of what happens next very reluctantly. He is convinced the thing spoke to him. Says, I'll never forget it. It said, go away, in a hissing voice. Then it took off down a long tunnel on the side. I got out of there as fast as I could. I was shaking with fear. Now, it says Ernest didn't come to the Sun with this story. They found out about him after hearing about his experience from someone who works with a relative of Ernest's. So that's how they found out to go talk to him. Says he would agree to talk about it only a year, or it says only if his last name would not be revealed. So I'm in the phone book, he said. I couldn't stand being called by a bunch of cranks. I believe, says here, that Ernie saw exactly what he said he did, says Barbara, his wife. He was terrified when he came back to the apartment, and he doesn't scare easily. Says, look, he's been known to have a drink in the past like most people and to occasionally tie one on, but he's not a drunkard and he wasn't drinking at the time any of this took place, not even all day. So, of course, it says they check with friends and relatives and supported the evaluation of Ernie. Says, I've accompanied Ernie to the spot where he said that he had seen this creature, and it's at the bottom of a narrow passage between the building where he lives and the one next door. The only way to reach this tunnel entrance is to clamber 15 feet down the wrong side of a fire escape, which once served as an exit to the street, but today just leads into this simple tunnel. So they talk right here, Philly, about going down in this tunnel entrance, seeing this chamber branching off. It says the corpse of a cat lies half buried in this tunnel, reminding Ernest of the strange noises like animals in pain. So he talks about hearing these noises coming from down there. So I ask you this, Philly, what could this be? Right?
Man,
what could they have seen down in there? Now they're talking about the size. There's nothing that could be speaking to you. You're not mistaking this for a possum. You're not mistaking this for a dog or a cat or a coyote.
No.
This thing is talking to you. Now, it says, Ernest believes the tunnel leads to the sewer system that runs beneath Metro, and that the entrance beneath his apartment may have only been an access point used by the creature to get to the surface. Says Metro's sewer department agreed to inspect the tunnel since it could be a safety hazard and that children might try to enter it. A longtime sewer employee worker there says told the Sun it was possible, although not probable, that it led to the sewers. He said the tunnel's probably a result of poor drainage over the years, which has caused erosion into the underground, hollowing out the passage. Says you know where it leads, or who knows where it leads or how far it goes, that you would have to get in there in that way, and it would take a lot of work. What I want to say on part of that is just because that's what he said, that doesn't answer anything.
No.
Because it was drained. Yeah, it might have been. There may be a hole in the pipe, you know, or a hole in whatever it was. And as it rained and drained and flooded, it made that hole. That doesn't tell me squat about what they saw. Yeah, it's a hole. It may or may not lead there. Water goes somewhere. It's draining off in that bottom. It's going somewhere. But there is definitely something that he saw down in there.
Yes.
Now, this goes on and on. This isn't the only one of the stuff that he talked about of this, you know, the tunnel monster of Cabbage Town.
Yeah.
What they talk about in here, too, is there are more sightings, kind of like in London, in these underground transit systems of people seeing possible pale crawlers, people seeing possible underground dwellers, these whatever these little like pale slate gray monsters are. There's more reports of spotting these 3 to 5 footers moving around in these tunnels.
Yeah.
So it's not an animal that we would normally know of. What the heck could it have possibly been?
I don't know, but I like these stories because I remember years ago we spoke with Nick Redfern about these devolved humans living in London's underground tubes. I love those kind of stories.
So I just wonder, with all the sightings of like possible alien bases, all this thing that Canada and Toronto given, and Toronto's a very old city. So, you know, much like the others that are old with this transit system, is why not move there? Now, you can go on YouTube right now and check out videos of people living in the underground systems in L.A. or in New York or in Las Vegas. I mean, you can see all this stuff. So why wouldn't it be anywhere else? And this whole idea of devolved humans is something that I find extremely interesting, just like I find Canada even more so interesting now that we might need to go check it out. Folks, I hope you enjoyed Creepy Canada. I like to drop a little Cabbage Town knowledge on some folks. Let's take a quick break. When we get back, we'll have a little something for the outro. I thank you folks for going to enjoy your listening to Expanded Perspectives.
Morgan Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume. Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, we are back.
Yes.
So there it is, some kind of crazy stuff that happens in Canada and in around Toronto and all that. So it doesn't surprise me, really and truly. No. There is so much beautiful, untouched, unpopulated area. Uh-oh, they found you. Unpopulated areas in
that,
Canada.
Folks.
That's what you get for wearing that doggone watch. He's so important that thing caught him now. Speaking of caught, did you see what's going on this week, Brad? 55-year anniversary for the Patterson-Gimlin film.
I know. I saw that. What an iconic film. I remember seeing that as a young boy, and that really blew my mind. Of course, I was probably much like Luke. I remember seeing that and thinking, oh, my God, they actually have video of Sasquatch. But, you know, I look back on that film now as an adult, and like I talk about all the time on the show, there's days where I think it's real. There's days where I don't think it's real. I'm totally still perplexed by the Patterson-Gimlin film. It's such an iconic video that almost every sighting from the moment that thing was aired till now, it's like that's changed in your mind what Bigfoot is supposed to look like. We've talked about that. Like sometimes people will give a very odd description of what they believe they saw in the woods, and somebody will be like, well, that's not Sasquatch because it doesn't look like it does in the Patterson-Gimlin film. It's like that set the bar as to what these things should look like. You know, and then there's years later where it comes out that, you know, the guy was a con man and the guy bounced a bunch of checks here and there, and then Hieronymus came out and said it was him. But just because somebody bounced a lot of checks doesn't mean they also didn't really have a real encounter.
Well, and why is everybody so less likely to believe one and more likely to believe another one? I'll tell you something else. Just a couple of days ago was Bob Gimlin's birthday.
Yes.
Bob Gimlin's 91 years old this week.
Man.
All right. And he's not changed anything.
I know, right.
Nothing.
He's stuck to his guns, right?
Not one bit. He's like, bro, this is just the way it is. And it's not like Bob Gimlin's gotten filthy rich off this whole thing. In fact, it's probably been more trouble than it's worth. So I'm always torn. Like I've talked about, I've covered the possible battle that they claim took place there. You know, there's all these crazy stories. I don't think we're ever going to know. And I think that's what makes it so great.
I'm with you. It's the mystery. That's what makes it so alluring, right?
Yeah, 100%.
In fact, I was just watching new episodes of Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah, how'd you like it?
I like it.
Good stuff, right?
There was a really good episode on there about the UFOs that were seen in Michigan.
Yep.
And again, I was only vaguely familiar with those sightings, but after watching that episode, it makes me want to do a deeper dive into what was going on.
Uh-huh.
But man, you know, that show is such an iconic show. I remember watching that as a kid with Robert Stack, and you know that in Search of, it brings back a lot of childhood memories.
Well, I got something to share with you.
Sure.
That it's funny that this is the 55-year anniversary, right, of the Patterson-Gimlin film, that it's Bob Gimlin's birthday week, and that also this week we've got a story here that this all kind of ties together that Lon sent me called, and it's about missing bear carcasses on the Klamath River there in California.
Okay.
Now, this is what it says, and this is why I'm telling you this. It says that after a group of hunters killed three bears along the Klamath River, they decided to leave them, the carcasses, until early night or till early the next day. And this is what went down. It says, I have not actually seen a Bigfoot, but I've seen some strange things that I simply can't explain. One incident happened after we had shot and killed three bear on the Klamath River in Northern California. This location is very close to the Patterson-Gimlin film area. Now, I must stress that two of the three bear were dead as doornails lying on the sandbar across the river from us. The other one was hit well and definitely a kill shot. This was in the evening and it was cool, so we opted to wait until the next morning to raft across and retrieve the bear. Now, this was at three different locations. So at first light, we were up and ready to go collect the bears. But there were no bear where we had left them, dead on the sandbar. They were absolutely gone, like something picked them up and took off with them. What kind of animal can pick up a 300-pound bear and make it disappear? They were definitely dead. There was no doubt they didn't walk away. And another story happened in this same area. There's a road that goes into the National Forest that's paved for 30 miles, passing lanes, striping, stop signs that were supposed to go to the Cave Junction, Oregon area. It's 30 miles of road costing millions of dollars, and it just stops with logs across the road. It's now a wilderness area, no motorized vehicles, foot and horseback only. Now, I've taken $2 in this wilderness area, but each time I hunt it, I feel like I'm being watched. A very, very eerie feeling. I've hunted all my life, and the only place I've ever felt like that was in this area. I've had another experience where I actually heard something in the dark that made a sound I can't explain. It moved way too fast for any land animals that I've ever hunted. Whatever it was made my dog's back hair raise up and all the hair on my body stand on end. My buddy was with me, and to this day, we've only spoken about it once. I will never forget the sound, and no, it wasn't a bird. It was just creepy, and everything in my gut told me to leave. Thanks, DS.
Man.
So, there's some crazy stuff. Now, look, folks, I don't know squat about bear hunting, right? I know what a bear is. I don't know anything about bear hunting. I don't know about shooting them and leave. I don't know.
I don't either. I know they like donuts.
And I know they taste good. What I do know is I've seen a pig get treated the exact same way. Get shot, you know it's dead, left there, the whole thing. And then, like we've discussed, it vanish. Nothing carries off large predators but larger predators. That's it.
Yeah.
The cleanup crew in nature doesn't carry things off. They'll break it down usually when it's large in spot. Now, of course, you'll see buzzards pick and drag animals off the road. They're doing that so they don't get run over, right? They're getting to safety where they can enjoy it. But if Mother Nature's cleanup crew hasn't just cleaned it on site and it's vanished, that's the only thing that picks it up. Large predators.
Yeah.
Only thing that moves them is larger predators.
Do you remember that fighter jet that crashed like in Lake Worth like a year ago?
Yep.
Do you know that they just came out and said that the reason that thing crashed is because it hit a buzzard?
You know, that doesn't surprise me.
I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often.
There's a thing up there in Ontario that's called the slaugh, S-L-A-U-G-H. That's another one that I didn't bring up. It's like an Irish or Scottish folk stories. It's almost like shapeshifters, but they can turn into birds and like clusters of birds.
Oh, that's cool.
So yeah, that may be. But yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, after all that stuff, you hit something like that in the air, it's going to be bad.
And speaking of bears, did you see this last week where those college wrestlers fought a grizzly bear?
They were badly disturbed.
One of them was really hurt bad.
I'm not surprised. Have you read the story where it talks about it's like crunching down on his skull and his buddies on its back fighting it?
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen their pictures?
Yeah.
Dude, they're messed up.
Oh, yeah.
But they're not dead. And how would you like to wrestle the boy that first got attacked? Because he's got the scars on his face now and fought that bear off, like body locked it, and his buddies on the back clawing at it and punching at it.
I don't know, but I appreciate what they did, because when it comes to the stories, everybody, they talk about if you get attacked by a black bear, fight back. If you get attacked by a grizzly bear, just lie there and play dead. I couldn't do it. Like, it may be the end of me, but I'm going to have to fight, right? I just can't lay there and take it.
Here's what's going to happen. If you lay there and play dead, you're going to be dead. You won't be playing for long, man. Like, I would rather, I'm with you. They might let you go. I don't know. I'm going to have to fight.
Right. And I'm not that I'm a threat, right?
No. Well, not that anything's a threat except those two wrestlers to that bear.
But I think that probably confused the bear because it didn't expect that much resistance. And when there was multiple guys.
They don't know what. Yeah.
That's
just
what
like we
it
talked
off.
About with Ranella and Remy
Warren and
Remy, yeah, and Giannis, the Latvian Eagle, whenever it run in there
if
in the middle of
them. If they catch you solitary, you're in bad shape. But when it's got multiple things, it doesn't know what to do.
It overloads its predatory system.
Did you see the video of the mountain climber where that bear's trying to get up and get him?
It comes up and he like knocks it away from him and all that. And that's a black bear.
So like people, so many people, even people that we know or have met, is like they think of bears as like the teddy bear.
Yeah.
And that's the furthest thing from the truth. Like, if you could pick any animal to be a kid's friend as
pick
a doll,
rabbit.
Like a bear is, it's bizarre how that became a common practice.
Because you want it to be that way, right? I mean, you want it. They look big and adorable. And if you love them that much and want to get out and hug them, you can spend the rest of your days in its gut.
They do look like they would be awesome to give a good hug.
Yeah.
But man.
Here's the one thing that I always go back to when I think about a grizzly bear. Have you ever seen the movie? And I know you have. Folks listening, I hope you've seen it. Legends of the Fall.
Yeah.
You remember the scene at the very end?
Uh-huh.
When you see how big that bear really is? Because the guy that's fighting it, that's his bear.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When you see that big bear and they freeze it, when it stands up and just engulfs him, wraps around it, you're like, bro, that's a big dude that raised that bear. I'm like, homie, look at short-faced bears. That's the reason there was no migration in the North America.
That's right. That's what they said.
For
yep.
years is those things live there. How are you going to fight that with a stick and a sharp rock on the end? And if you don't have a bow and arrow, and back then, the bows, what were they, 35, 45 pounds max, maybe, shooting crooked wooden arrows? They're not made to shoot more than like 30 feet. I mean, you know, you're not talking about the bows we have now. Now you got to try to defend yourself in the snow and frozen tundra
right.
from bear. I don't think so, bro.
And those things are out there right now.
Yeah, no.
That's why I was talking about people are scared of werewolves or dogmen, but you only see werewolves when it's a full moon. Real wolves are out there every day.
And bear. No thanks. Yeah, those boys are tough. That's it. I mean, it's fight or flight, and they're wrestlers. Let's not be surprised that they're not afraid and that they don't have any quit. Let's not pretend that's not like beaten into them since they're little.
That's true.
I mean, that's a Spartan lifestyle. And by the time you get to be a college wrestler at that level, I don't care what D level it is. By the time you got into that, that's a whole different level.
Yeah.
Those dudes really are unbreakable.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think that the D1 badminton team would be fighting off a grizzly bear. I'm just saying.
Unless he had the racket with him, and I would pay money. I don't want it to hurt him. Like, like going up against it, I'd watch that.
Yeah, well, what do you got planned for the rest of your week?
I'm going to College Station to go visit my daughter. She's got a thing going on down there. Then I have some family function on Sunday. I've got a lot of stuff, a lot of running around to do. I'm not going to get to hunt much. And then next week is all prep time for us to get everything together for the live show. And we found out, folks, for those of you coming, I just got a whole deal. You'll check it on Instagram. We've shared it, this whole thing. It's going to be, we're going to go up at 7. I don't care what everything
and
else is
not,
doing.
There's not tickets to purchase to watch the show, but you do have to pay an admission to get in, but that's whether we're there or not.
Yeah. You have to pay to come in whether we're there or not. We found out it's going to be $15 to get in, and this is what you get. The collector's glass and three beers. $15 gets you a cup, access to all of the stuff going on in there, and three beers. I guess three pints. I'm sure it's like a little pint glass.
Sure. Yeah.
So there you go. $15. It's nothing to come see us. We're going to have some merch there. We're going to have some friends there. Y'all know how it's going to go. There's apparently going to be now a costume contest. There's going to be food trucks there. There's going to be not only music that we've got, there's going to be a DJ that's going to come and be set up in there. It's going to be pop.
Yeah, I think DJ Babu's going to be there.
Who's that?
He's the Dilated Peoples.
Oh, dude, that would be awesome.
Invisible Scratch Pickles are going to be there. let's not forget.
I thought you were bringing your old friends, the Hellified Funk Crew.
Well, I'm pretty sure most of them are probably deceased.
Can you funk?
Heck yeah, I can funk.
That's right.
Before we get out of here, let's not forget about our sponsors like HelloFresh.
Hello.
Just go to HelloFresh.com/expanded65 and use the code expanded65 for 65% off plus free shipping. It's America's number one meal kit.
And also, don't forget about our LumiLab amigos over there. Get your microdose on. It's available nationwide. Like we said, you can go anywhere you want to go to start doing your Google search to find out about microdose, or go to microdose.com. But while you're there at microdose.com, use the code EXPANDED to get free shipping and 30% off your first order.
And Felix Gray for the best blue light glasses on the market. Use our special URL. That's felixgrayglasses.com/expanded. Non-prescription, prescription, or readers, even sunglasses, the best blue light glasses on the market. Check them out now. FelixGrayGlasses.com/expanded. That's FelixGray glasses.com/expanded. Free shipping, free returns, free exchanges. FelixGlasses.com/expanded. That's about all the time we have for this episode. Till next week, folks, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.